Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
This was a great week in the market. Stock and bonds both up. And this was a result of inflation for a third straight month dropping. The Dow was up 2% for the week. S&P 500 up 2.7%. NASDAQ up 4.8%. The MSCI International Index was up 3.3%. Very strong so far year to date. The 10-year Treasury and bonds. So yields dropped on the 10-year and bonds were up. In fact, bonds are up right now year to date 3.4%. Oil was up 8.4% for the week. Real big week for oil, closing at $80 a barrel. And this was all a result of the CPI. Remember, we were talking last week about that, inflation, and how inflation is going to continue to drive this market. The data. And the big news this past week was the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which is a supposedly, evidently, market seems to think so, a big indication of what's going on with inflation. Let's just call it what it is. So the December inflation number came in this past week. We're all waiting to see what happens because the Fed is a direct responder to that. And it came in pretty good. In fact, it showed that inflation for the third month in a row is down. But we're talking about peanuts. It was down 0.1%. Okay, I'll take it. Core CPI, which is a little different, was up 0.3%. So because the CPI, also known as inflation, met the market expectation, and you had a couple more Fed officials this past week saying, well, you know, in February, we're only going to raise rates 25 basis points. This is what's caused the increase in markets that I just talked about. So looking at inflation metrics just themselves, the overall headline reading of the CPI definitely was positive. It dropped a little bit better than was expected. But it's important to note that almost all of the drop was driven by the decline in gasoline prices. If you look at what's called the core CPI, that excludes food and energy, that did ease lower to 5.7%. And that's good, but remember what the Fed said. They wanted around 2%. So you got a long way to go, is what I'm trying to say. And the question is, well, how do markets perform when you've got the Fed about to pivot or to change the direction? Now, I want to paint the backdrop here because this is, in my world, this is exciting stuff. And I want to try and make it exciting to you because I want to educate you on what you're going to be hearing over the next 2 to 3 months. It's going to be, I'm going to call it the Charles Dickens tale of two cities, okay? And that's what we're seeing right now. You're seeing a brewing of one side of the house saying one thing, the other side of the house, and I'm talking about the Wall Street house, saying another. So it's like two brothers arguing. That's where we are right now, if you just want to visually paint the picture. The first version, this is what you're probably going to hear more of as the weeks unfold. I happen to be somewhat in this camp, but I'm more in the other. Ready? Here we go. So how do markets perform when the Fed stops? Well, over the past 40 years, the Fed has paused 7 times after ending their tightening cycles. Following the last Fed rate hike, policymakers held rates steady for about 6 months on average after that. Now, the range over that time cycle, and I'm looking from 1984 up to 2018, was about a month on the low end to a little bit over a year on the long end. So that's why I'm saying an average of around 6 months. Now, let's call it 6 months. That's when they would start to cut rates to stimulate the economy. So that's the pivot. Stocks performed strongly in 5 of those 6 instances. And they only declined once, and it was pretty modest. In fact, it was down about 2%. So what sort of areas do well? Well, investment grade bonds. They experienced above average returns as yields peaked a couple of months before the last rate hike. If you look at what just happened, that's pretty similar to what we just saw. Here's something else interesting to think about. Again, this is just all looking at history. Technology, was the best performing sector, probably because of easing yields and financial conditions, with the exception of the Fed pause we saw in 2000. You all may remember 2000, the tech bubble burst. I certainly do. I remember my friends packing up their U-Hauls and driving down the street. They lost their house, lost everything. So there's an argument out there right now that a Fed pause can be a catalyst for lower bond yields, which mean higher bond prices and higher stock prices. Now, I want you to contrast that with the opposite, the contrast. This is where I'm going with this. I think the market outlook right now is a lot like what it was about a month ago. Remember when we started out in December? If you go back and listen to the podcast, again, I think you should listen to the podcast. We were talking at the beginning of December of how we thought the market had got a little ahead of itself, a little over its skis. And I'm going to call that out right now. I'm going to say that the S&P 500 has gotten a little bit beyond where it needs to be. Because remember, we finished the day on Friday, yesterday, at 39.99, almost 4,000. So just like I warned back in December, I think the market is vulnerable to a pullback, which if you remember in December, it happened. And so I'm again warning you right now, the potential outcome is markets have again drifted out of what I'll call the fundamental support zone. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that conditions have deteriorated since December. If that CPI came in a lot worse than it did, I wouldn't be saying that this morning. But I'm saying that that was good news. I like it. It just wasn't as good as it could have been. And over the past few days, I think investors have become a little bit enthusiastic welcoming this soft, because it is soft, economic data. And I just don't think the data right now supports the prices that we're seeing. So the bottom line right now is the macroeconomic outlook is clear. Inflation, economic growth, and the labor market are doing better. But how that data starts to unfold, particularly over the next couple months, is really what's going to determine the next 10 to 15% of this market. And I feel it's more to the downside than the upside. So right now, the current situation that we're seeing is that the Fed is going to be highly data dependent, and they're going to do what the numbers are saying. So don't get, you know, swayed into this, is what I'm trying to say. What does that mean? Well, on the S&P 500, your support level on the downside right now, because we hit 39.99, should be roughly 38.40 as a support. If we break that, I'm seeing 37.20. And if we break that, it's 36.57. So it's gotten a little bit better than a couple of weeks ago where I was calling for 34.50. 36.57 is sort of the end of the cycle there. All right. Now on the upside, if we can go through the 39.99, 4020 is next. So not a big amount of range there. So what do you do? What do you own? What do you trade when we're in this sort of environment? Well, utilities, healthcare, consumer staples, longer dated bonds, including treasuries and investment grade corporates. And from a factor standpoint, value ETFs and minimum volatility ETFs. And I think it's not premature to take a look at quality. I'm talking about quality parts of technology, maybe a little early on that, but that's what I'm saying today. So remember, the bottom line is the Fed is going to react to what the market says. And we are seeing that right now.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569.
Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.